Did you know that one-third of the average person's life is spent working? That's right, one-third of your life spent working. Hey, I'm Colin Lambert sitting in today for Chris Fabry here on Chris Fabry Live, and that's what we're going to be talking about today. How does our faith and our work come together? Should it? How should it? And what does the Bible say about it? Just a few of the things we'll be talking about today. Our guest is Jordan Rayner. He's a best-selling author, a leading voice of the faith and work movement, and best-selling author of numerous books, including Redeeming Your Time, and the topic we'll be talking about today, the sacredness of secular work, four ways your job matters for eternity. He has books and podcasts, weekly devotionals, and on a regular basis, he's helping millions of Christians in every country connect the gospel with their work. He also serves as the executive chairman of Threshold 360. He's been twice selected as a Google Fellow, and he even served in the White House with President George W. Bush. His programs have been featured on other programs like Family Life Today, Family Talk with James Dobson. He's been on CNBC, Ken Coleman's show, Ali Beth Stuckey. The list goes on and on. And I love talking about this because one of the organizations I have the joy of working with talks a lot about faith and work. So I am already primed, ready to do this, and I hope that you are as well. Understand today that if nothing else, I pray that the Lord will show you something about your work, whatever it is, wherever it is, and however you're doing your work, that might impress upon you that you really have an opportunity to take your work to the next level. And I don't just mean the performance of your work. I mean the way that your work integrates with your faith. Jordan, welcome to Chris Fabry Live. Great to have you with us today.
Colin, it's a joy to be with you. Thanks for having me.
I want to start right there with kind of the title of the book, The Sacredness of Secular Work. I know right in the beginning of your book, you talk about how folks can view their secular workplace as sacred. I think often we have a challenging time doing that, especially for those of us who don't work in ministry, don't work in missions. We're actually working day to day in the hard go-to-it secular world that many people are dealing with. Talk for a moment about that.
Yeah, so it's important to get these definitions in order because for a long time I didn't have the definitions of these words nailed down and it thwarted my purpose in my work. So that word secular literally means without God, right? But we Christ followers believe that God is literally with us wherever we go through the power of the Holy Spirit, right? And so the only thing we need to do to instantly make a quote-unquote secular school or secular workplace sacred is walk through the front door or log onto Zoom, right? Now, clearly some work is totally off limits for Christ followers, but I'm going to go ahead and assume that our listeners are not making a living exploiting the poor or doing something else that overtly contradicts God's word. And if that's true, and you are seeking first the kingdom of God, then in the words of the great preacher Charles Spurgeon, quote, nothing is secular. Everything is sacred, end quote. There's no question about the sacredness of our seemingly secular work, believers. I think the more interesting and life-changing question, Colin, is this. How exactly does that sacred work our listeners do as baristas and accountants and entrepreneurs matter beyond the present? How does it matter for eternity? And that's the question I'm trying to help readers answer in this book, The Sacredness of Secular Work.
What do you think is the number one thing that keeps followers of Christ from being able to see the sacredness of a workplace that is without God, as you describe?
Yeah, it's a really good question. Yeah, I think, Colin, in the last few hundred years of church history, for the first time ever in church history, according to every scholar I've ever read, we have begun treating the Great Commission, which is indeed great, as the singular mission of the Christian life. And that's problematic for a whole bunch of reasons that I break down in the book. First and foremost, Jesus never did that. But one of the other problems is that it blocks believers from seeing the sacredness of that seemingly secular work. If the Great Commission to save souls, quote unquote, and make disciples is the exclusive mission of the Christian life, then most of us are wasting the vast majority of our time. right? Like, how much time does the average teacher in a public school system or scientist or small business owner spend explicitly sharing the gospel with somebody in a given month? 15 minutes? An hour? Let's be crazy generous and say they spend 3 hours walking coworkers through the Romans Road. If the Great Commission is the only mission, then only about 1% of that person's life matters for eternity. And Colin, I don't know about you, but I find that to be deeply depressing, but it's also deeply unbiblical as I'm walking readers through in this book.
Yeah. I think it one of the reasons may be, and I'd love to hear your thoughts on this, one of the reasons there may be this disconnect between secular and sacred is the fact that you rarely hear your work talked about from the pulpit. I mean, you go to church, yeah. your discipleship is part of it. You're in Bible studies or home groups or Sunday school, however, whatever you want to call it. And yet, how often have you heard a sermon series, or how often in your Bible study have you taken opportunity to talk about what's going on with your work other than maybe just prayer time saying, hey, I need work help with one of my coworkers? It just almost never seems to come up. Is that problematic for the believer?
I think it's terrifically problematic. And by God's grace, I think this problem is being solved. I see more and more pastors teaching about this because they understand that in order to properly disciple our people, we should probably be talking about what our people do with one third of the hours they spend on this earth, right? And here's what's ironic. God talks about work a whole lot more than most churches do. Work is mentioned more than 800 times in Scripture. Most of those mentions, of course, coming after the fall, although there are mentions of work prior to the fall. 800 times, that's more than every single mention in Scripture of music, worship, and praise combined. Clearly, work matters greatly to God. I think God understood that it is the work that believers do outside of the four walls of the church that are oftentimes the most effective at advancing his kingdom, at fulfilling the Great Commission and the First Commission to make culture. And I think this is why it's so near and dear to his heart. I think we see this most evident in the life of Jesus, right? God could have chosen for his one and only son to grow up in anybody's household. He could have chosen for Jesus to grow up in the home of a priest like John the Baptist, where he'd spend the vast majority of his time in prayer. He could have chosen for Jesus to grow up in the home of a Pharisee like Paul, where he would spend all day, every day, Monday through Friday, if you will, studying Torah. But instead, the Father chose for Jesus to grow up in the home of a small business owner named Joseph, where he would spend the vast majority of his time making things with his hands, right? God cares a lot about work. We got to care a lot about work and talk a lot more about it if we want believers in the pews to see the sacredness of that seemingly secular work.
Yeah. Well, there's so much to learn, and I hope you'll join us in the conversation today. The phone lines are open, 877-548-3675, 877-548-3675. Might want to ask you, as well as you're listening today, how have you seen the secular and sacred come together in your own work? If you've been able to integrate faith and work, what kinds of things have you seen that have allowed that to be true in your own life? Have you purposefully tried to combine the secular and the sacred, or to, as Jordan talked about, make it all sacred, as Charles Spurgeon talked about, that it's all for him and it's all part of the sacredness of our work. We'd love to hear from you, 877-548-3675. Coming back in just a moment, we'll talk about what percentage of our work really should be sacred and what does that look like? Obviously, we're not sharing the gospel for the full amount of time. What kinds of things will impact our colleagues through us living out our faith there? Stay with us. Back with more in a moment.
This is Chris Fabry Live. Thanks a lot for listening. We'll get right back to the conversation in just a moment, but I want to remind you that our thank you this month is a book that I'm really enjoying and really has given me an opportunity to say, you know what? Yeah, I have a hard time remembering things. I have a hard time remembering names. And Glenna Marshall says, I can memorize a verse of scripture at my advanced age? Come on, Glenna. No. She not only says that I can do it, she gives me the tools to help me do that. The basics, blessings, and benefits of meditating on God's Word. The book is titled Memorizing Scripture. Support Chris Fabry Live right now. We'll send you a copy. I'd love to do that. Call 866-95-FABRY, 866-953-2279, or go to chrisfabrylive.org. Scroll down. You'll see how to give and receive right there. Go to chrisfabrylive.org.
I'm Colin Lambert, sitting in today for Chris Fabry here on Chris Fabry Live. So great to have you along. Just a couple of words of thanks as we get rolling this hour. I want to thank Trish for producing today, Ryan at the controls making us all sound right. Lynn is answering your phone calls today at 877-548-3675. And I want to thank the folks at The Bridge Radio in Austin, Texas. They're the ones that let me use their studio so I can speak to you today. Our guest is Jordan Rayner, The Sacredness of Secular Work, Four Ways Your Job Matters for Eternity. And again, if you'd like to get in on the conversation, we'd love to hear from you. 877-548-3675, 877-548-3675. Jordan, just before the break, we were talking about how the Great Commission, for instance, is really bigger than what we think of, maybe, and what Christ said, which was to reach others with the gospel and make disciples, that really there is a mission that we've all been given to go into the world and to impact culture and to impact those around us. And obviously, if one third of our lives, most of us, is spent in the workplace, that means we need to be doing it there. But I think often as people look at their work, as mundane as some of those workplaces can be, for different people, they're going to experience different things. Somebody maybe who's working in a not-for-profit and helping people deal with homelessness, they're going to maybe have a feeling of sacredness to their work. But a person, you mentioned a barista, maybe someone making coffee or someone entering data into a computer, not so easy to think about the sacredness of that work. Can you talk for a moment about how to kind of change our mindsets on that?
Yeah, I'd be happy to. And I think there's a lot of deep theological underpinnings here that can, as we explore them and what Scripture has to say about them, free us to seeing how 100% of our time at work matters for eternity. And I think maybe the biggest one is this half-truth that we've come to believe about eternity, that earth is our temporary home, right? That is not the whole truth of Scripture. The whole truth of Scripture is that earth is our temporary home until God uses fire not to obliterate this earth, but to purify and redeem it. And here's why this matters for our work today, right? If earth is indeed our temporary home and the present heaven is our permanent one, then matter doesn't matter. And the only thing that we do that has any eternal consequence are the exclusively quote-unquote spiritual tasks like prayer and evangelism, right? Building a great business doesn't matter. Making a great latte doesn't matter, unless, of course, those things are currently in vogue and you can leverage them to some instrumental and spiritual end, but they have no intrinsic value. And if that's true, then frankly, most of us are wasting 99% of our lives. But the good news of Scripture, as Colossians 1 tells us, is that Christ came to reconcile to himself all things that were broken at the fall in Genesis 3. And all things, yes, includes the spiritual realm, quote unquote, but it also includes this material world. And here's why that matters. Because Scripture tells us that earth, this earth, has been redeemed by Christ and will one day be our perfect and permanent home, then matter matters deeply to God. And my quote-unquote spiritual work of saving souls and the material work of making this earth more useful for other human beings' benefit and enjoyment must have eternal significance. And if that's true, then, oh my word, 100% of my time at work can matter for eternity. Here's how one theologian who's way smarter than me put it. Miroslav Volf said this, quote, "The significance of secular work depends upon the value of creation. and the value of creation depends upon its final destiny, end quote. And because the final destiny of this earth is redemption rather than destruction, your work with the earth, listener, typing on aluminum MacBooks, making lattes, building homes, changing diapers, must matter deeply to God, because Jesus is king over heaven and earth, spiritual and material.
You mentioned Genesis, and I want to go to the scriptures a little bit right now if we can. I think most people, at least my perception is, most people probably think of work in a post-Eden mindset. In other words, most people I've come across tend to think of work as a negative thing, number one, yeah. And number two, because it happened, because the toil of it, if you will, seemed to come in after the fall. In other words, I think people recognize that Adam and Eve were called to work, but it seems like after the fall, all of a sudden, you know, you're going to toil, you're going to sweat, you're going to bleed, all these kind of things start coming into the picture. And people can often, even young people, start their careers thinking work is a burden and work is a horrible task, and maybe it's not even biblical. Can you talk for a little bit about just the biblical nature of work?
Yeah, absolutely. Work, according to scripture, is essential to human beings being fully flourishing, right? Work was God's first gift to humankind, as we see in Genesis 1, 26 through 28, sometimes called the cultural mandate. I like to call this the first commission, because this is the first thing God ever called humankind to do. It says, God said, "Let us make mankind in our image." Why? So that they may rule. God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it," right? So this first commission is essentially a call to make this earth more useful for other human beings' benefit and enjoyment. And I think the lie that's entered modern Christendom is, okay, well, yeah, after the fall, though, work doesn't matter anymore. God doesn't care about work anymore, right? All we're supposed to do is save as many souls as we can and get the heck out of here. But that's not the story of scripture. We see that God cares about work so much that, number one, he sent his son to spend 80% of his adult life doing a regular J-O-B as a carpenter or stonemason. And we see in Isaiah 65 that God is not just redeeming our souls. He's not just redeeming this earth. He's also redeeming the world of work, right? Isaiah 65, 17 through 23, God says, "See, I will create a new heavens and a new earth. My chosen people will build houses on that new earth and dwell in them. They will plant vineyards and eat their fruit. For as the days of a tree, so will be the days of my people. My chosen ones will long enjoy the work of their hands, and they will not labor in vain," right? So yes, work is difficult, toilsome, arduous, as you pointed out, Colin, today, because we live in between Genesis 3 and Revelation 21 and Isaiah 65. But there's coming a day when God will make work what it was always meant to be: perfectly fruitful, difficult but satisfying, challenging but fruitful, all honey, no bees, perfect worship to the glory of God forevermore.
877-548-3675, our number if you'd like to get involved in the conversation. Maybe you have a question. Maybe you have a story of how you've seen the secular and sacred come together in your own work, where you have seen that your job does matter for eternity. We'd love to hear your story as well. 877-548-3675. As you began to talk about that element of work, Jordan, I was just taken back to my own personal experiences, and I'll say this, I am not a green thumb, but I have occasionally put a few gardens together, and getting out and digging in the earth and planting something and seeing it grow, there is a sense of not just accomplishment, but fulfillment in things like that. I would say I've never been a carpenter, never been a handyman kind of guy, but I would assume that, you know, a person who's building a dresser, when they complete it and it's been stained and they're ready to put the clothes in it, there is a sense of satisfaction there. And also, I think you used this term early on in our conversation today, but this note of creativity. God is a creative God and has created us to create. Can you talk for a moment just about the fulfillment from following this mindset of making everything sacred and putting aside what we would call secular?
Yeah, I think when we find the fulfillment, we are, in an improper way, of course, imaging God, who didn't just create and move on to the next project, but stopped to see that what he created was good and take delight in what he created. And Colin, I'll tell you what, my life changed. So I spent the vast majority of my career as a tech entrepreneur, and everything changed for me when I realized that before God tells us that he is holy or loving or omnipotent, he tells us that he's a God who creates. And oh, by the way, it's pretty much the only thing we know about his character until we get to Genesis 1:26, where he says, hey, let's make mankind in our image. And so, of course, it logically follows that central to the human condition and what it means to be made in the image of God is to be made to be sub-creators that reflect the supreme master creator of the universe, God himself. And I think as we engage in that work, whether it's creating a garden or creating a process or creating a spreadsheet or a widget or a hammer or whatever, and we take the time to see the goodness of that work, and more importantly, the source of goodness, God himself reflected in that creation, oh my word, we bring great joy to the creator God who created his kids to do this very thing.
Yeah. 877-548-3675, our number, 877-548-3675. Jordan, you talked about what you call half-truths about heaven. I know you shared one of those, which is this feeling that earth is our temporary home, yet God talks about what's coming in the new earth. Do you have any more half-truths that are worth sharing?
Yeah. How long do you have? Yeah. So in the book,
right,
I break
ahead.
Down five of these half truths about heaven. These aren't full blown lies, right? I don't see a lot of pastors running around sharing full blown lies about heaven from the pulpit. But these are half truths that are incomplete enough to rob us of our joy in the present, our purpose in the present, and I think our hope for the future. I think one of those half truths is that we will worship for eternity, right? That is true in a sense. Worship of God is the purpose of eternity. His glory is the whole reason we will be with him for all of eternity. But I call this a half-truth because I think our definition in the modern church of the word worship is at best half true. I think when we think about worship, we think exclusively of musical worship, but scripture makes it clear that we can worship God in nearly everything that we do. A quick trip back to Genesis makes this crystal clear. In Genesis 2:15, it says that God took Adam and placed him in the garden to work it and take care of it. And the Hebrew word there that we translate to work is this word abad, which elsewhere in scripture is translated to mean worship. What's the point? Adam and Eve were worshiping God, not just when they sang him a song, not just when they walked with him in the cool of the morning. They worshiped him as they engaged in the work that God created them to do in Genesis 1 and 2. And as we've already touched on, the same will be true for you and me for eternity. Contrary to this American caricature of heaven as a glorified retirement home in the clouds, heaven is on earth, and our eternity is not going to be marked by just endless singing, although that will certainly be a part of it. It's not marked by endless reclining in a hammock forever and ever. Revelation 22:5 says that we will reign forever and ever with Christ, which means a lot of things, part of which is, again, go back to Isaiah 65, that we will work forever and ever with Christ, doing the thing God created us to do from the very beginning of this drama, co-laboring alongside of him, with him first and foremost, and for him to expand his glory all over this good creation with creative enterprises and development and long enjoying the work of our hands. So yes, it's half true that we're going to worship for eternity. The whole truth is that we're going to worship for eternity by singing, yes, but also by filling, subduing, and ruling this earth alongside Jesus the King. And I don't know about you, Colin, but that to me is far more exciting and exhilarating than endless harps and hammocks.
Absolutely. Amen. Our guest is Jordan Rayner. He's written the book, The Sacredness of Secular Work, Four Ways Your Job Matters for Eternity. And when we come back in just a moment, we are going to take your calls at 877-548-3675. Scott and Steve, hold on. We'll be back with you coming up in just a moment. Again, 877-548-3675, our number. And let me just remind you, you can visit our website at chrisfabrylive.org. You can visit our Facebook page at Chris Fabry Live Radio, and you'll get all the details about our guest and about his books. We'll connect you there. It's an easy way to get connected. I want to encourage you to do that each and every day as you hear information that's helpful to you in your spiritual walk. Back with Jordan Rayner and the sacredness of secular work and your calls coming up in just a moment right here on Chris Fabry Live. Stay with us. You're listening to Chris Fabry Live. I'm Colin Lambert, sitting in for Chris Fabry today. Thank you so much for spending a few minutes with us. Our topic, the sacredness of secular work, four ways your job matters for eternity. My guest is Jordan Rayner, author of this book. He's a longtime businessman. He's working on books and podcasts and weekly devotionals, helping millions of Christians around the world integrate and connect the gospel with their work. And I'm excited to have him with us today. We're going to go to your calls now at 877-548-3675, 877-548-3675. Scott, you're listening in Spring Grove, Illinois, listening to WMBI. Thanks so much for calling today. Your question or comment?
Yeah, I have a comment. I'm very thankful for the program, certainly for Moody as a whole and the ministries that you have there. I'm a pastor in the Spring Grove, Illinois area, and thinking about what you were saying, I was thinking about what I try to communicate to the believers that I have the privilege to disciple and to teach, is that wherever we go, church is being represented. And so church is going on no matter where, no matter what. So that puts a different perspective on things and will promote an atmosphere of evangelism and accountability wherever we're going, on the job, at home, in the community. And so if we're born again, you know, we have this opportunity to represent wherever we go and whatever we're doing and whomever we're with. So that's basically the point I was going to make.
I love that. Scott, thank you for pastoring and for leading some folks through your discipleship and evangelism and work in your community. Jordan, any thoughts?
Oh, man, I'm so grateful for pastors like Scott who understand this, right? I think for a long time we've seen churches operating a lot like cruise ships, right? Get everybody in the door, keep them in the door. Church is what we do inside of these buildings and all these programs. But, you know, I think the church was always meant to be an aircraft carrier, right? Of us coming in Sunday, Wednesday night, whenever it is, being fed by great teachers, I'm sure, like Scott, so that we can scatter and go out in the world and take the church with us. And oh, by the way, yeah, I think this is how we're going to be most effective at the Great Commission in this cultural moment, because this is how we've always been most effective at the Great Commission. Tim Keller, right before he passed away, did this great research that found that 80% or more of evangelism in the early church for the first three centuries was not done by ministers or evangelists. It was done by mere Christians working as farmers and tent makers and mothers. And if that was true in the early church, I would argue, and Tim and I had a great conversation about this on my own podcast, that that's going to be true for at least the next couple of generations. Because the fastest growing religious affiliation in America is no religious affiliation. Right.
Right.
Non-believers are less likely than ever before to darken the door of my church or Scott's church to learn about Jesus for the first time. So where will they hear the good news of the gospel? Through our listeners, through you and me going to work Monday through Friday and giving them a winsome picture of Christ by the way we work with excellence and love and in accordance with God's command. So I love what Scott said. It is time for the church to re-embrace this scatter mentality, to equip the saints on Sunday morning to go out off the aircraft carrier and seek and save the lost.
One other note, based on what Scott shared and what you just said, Jordan, I think is key to repeating one more time, and that is we can do amazing things in representing Christ in our workplace. We can also do great damage in our workplaces if we are not living out our faith according to God's word.
Yeah. I hate saying this, Colin, but there are believers I know who are very vocal about their faith in Jesus Christ in the workplace that I really wish weren't, because I know a few of these individuals who are verbally abusive to their employees, who don't do their work with excellence and love, and they're dragging Jesus' name through the mud, right? They're not doing the gospel any favors and being so bold about Jesus. But I think if you are truly listener seeking first the kingdom of God, you are seeking to apprentice yourself under Jesus, of course, imperfectly, always imperfectly. Man, I pray that you're bold about your allegiance to Jesus and the reason for the hope that is within you.
Yeah. 877-548-3675, our number, 877-548-3675. Steve from the Quad Cities, you're listening on WDLM. Thanks so much for calling today. Your question or comment?
Well, Mike, can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Go right ahead.
Oh, okay. My comment is that I love the passage in the Bible that talks about foundations. You know, Christ being the cornerstone, the firm foundation. Because that's what I did for a living for my whole career, was pour solid concrete foundations. And I worked the gospel in there whenever I could with the guys that I worked with. It was just... in a fulfilling career, it was difficult, but now I can go travel the community and just see. I laid the foundation for the house that those people live in. Yeah. And so many different ways I was able to convey the gospel through that. One time a young guy was all frustrated because he was angry and started using the Lord's name in vain, and I said, you know, I know why you use that name. He said, why? I said, because that is the most powerful name in the universe. And it's just stuff like that was so fulfilling.
I love it. Steve, thank you for calling. Jordan, your thoughts?
Oh, man, as Steve's talking, I'm reminded of 1 Corinthians 3. Let's just read it together, starting in verse 10. By the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as a wise builder, and someone else is building on it, but each one should build with care. And listen to this: for no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid. If anyone builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, their work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. That work will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each person's work. If what has been built survives, the builder will receive a reward. If it is burned up, the builder will suffer loss, but yet will be saved, even though only as one escaping through the flames. And again, that's 1 Corinthians 3, verses 10 through 15. And here's why I bring that up, Colin. Not only Steve's comment about building foundations, but I think this passage clearly hits on a huge theme of the New Testament that we don't talk a lot about in the church today. And this is one of the four ways your work matters for eternity that I'm talking about in the sacredness of secular work. Your work matters for eternity because it is largely through your work that you earn eternal rewards. We never talk about rewards. And for a lot of good reasons, the perverted prosperity gospel has heretically taken this idea and ran with it in a really unbiblical direction. But Jesus commanded us, Paul commanded us in this passage, all throughout the New Testament, we are commanded to build with gold, silver, and costly stones. In other words, do our work for God's glory rather than our own. Do our work for the good of others rather than for selfish means, as it seems like Steve was doing in his career, pouring these concrete foundations. And as we do, be motivated by the idea that there are eternal rewards waiting for us on the other side of the thin veil currently separating heaven and earth.
Yeah. Hmm. Jordan, I don't think I asked you this, but you mentioned a little earlier that you were in the tech industry. You kind of come from that business background. Was Yep. there a single thing or a series of things that led you into thinking more about the sacredness of work?
Yeah, there were a lot of things, but one in particular that was really memorable for me. So I'm still in this world. I'm executive chairman of a tech startup. I used to run as CEO, but I spent 10 years full time as CEO of a variety of tech startups. And after I was selling my second company, Colin, I was trying to figure out what I was going to do next professionally, right? When you sell two companies, natural thing is you want to go start a third, right? So that was the plan, go start another business. But for a hot minute there, I was considering starting a church because I went to church every Sunday, believing this unbiblical lie that, man, if I really love Jesus, I wouldn't be starting a business. I'd go move to a mud hut 5,000 miles away from home to make disciples. And listen, I pray that people are doing that. We need people doing that work. But what changed for me, I'll never forget, I had a mentor, godly mentor in my church, who pulled me aside one Sunday. He knew I was thinking about planting a church. And he goes, hey, I heard you're thinking about doing this. And I'm thinking this guy's going to pat me on the back, maybe write me a check to get this church started. And he just looks me dead in the eyes, Colin. And he says, yeah, I got to be honest, Jordan, that sounds really dumb for you personally. I was like, what are you talking about? He's like, Jordan, you're a talented entrepreneur. You've created jobs. You've created wealth for your investors. I've seen you do ministry through this business. Why do you think you have to go start a church to do ministry? Don't you get that your work as an entrepreneur is ministry? And I had no idea what this guy was talking about. I looked at him like he had three heads. And so he told me, he's like, Jordan, here's what I want you to do. With this conversation in the background in your mind, I want you to go read Genesis 1 and 2. I'm like, read Genesis 1 and 2. I've read Genesis 1 and 2 500 times. But I did it anyways, and what I saw changed my life forever. We talked about it a few minutes ago. I saw that before God tells us that he's holy, he tells us he's a creator God. And long before the great commission that Christ gave us, God gave us the first commission to create culture in his image that he never once retracted. So long story short, I didn't plant a church. I went and ran a couple of other tech startups that I'm still engaged in today. But that message, Colin, made me fully alive for the first time Monday through Friday. I think before that conversation, I understood that my work as an entrepreneur had instrumental value in that I could use my job to write a check to my church or share the gospel with my teammates. But that was the first time I understood that it had intrinsic value, that 100% of my minutes at work mattered for eternity. And the great irony, and I'll end with this, is that that's when I really started sharing the gospel more at work. When I understood that my work mattered beyond sharing the gospel, here's why. Because when you understand that 100% of your time at work matters for eternity, and not just the 1% you spend on quote-unquote spiritual things, you become fully alive. And fully alive people attract the lost like honey attracts bees.
Yeah, yeah. Thanks for sharing that. I think it's important to hear how that went. And congratulations to your mentor. I think he was right. And that's the value of mentors in our lives, isn't it?
Praise God.
Jordan Rayner, our guest. Jordan Rayner, author of The Sacredness of Secular Work, Four Ways Your Job Matters for Eternity. We're going to come back in just a moment. Go back to your calls. 877-548-3675. Roger, Darla, Joe, hang on. We'll get to you in just a moment. You're listening to Chris Fabry Live. We'll return with more with Jordan Rayner coming up in just a moment. Here's the number again, 877-548-3675, or check our website out, chrisfabrylive.org. Back in a moment, more with Jordan.
We'll get right back to the conversation here on Chris Fabry Live in just a moment. First, I want to tell you about Garrett and Anna. They were both 17 years old, and they found out that Anna was pregnant, and they were scared. What are they going to do? How is their family going to react? What are their friends going to say? They called a local pregnancy center, and through that contact, they found hope. They received relationship advice, fatherhood coaching for Garrett,
pregnancy classes for both of them. And then came Emma Grace. Garrett says, at 18, it was the greatest experience of his life and he almost missed it. That kind of story happens every day at CareNet. And I think somebody you know needs the ministry of CareNet in their lives. Click the green CareNet button at chrisfabrylive.org. You can find out more. There are free downloads. There's such encouragement there. Look at the pictures. Go to chrisfabrylive.org. Click the green CareNet button today at chrisfabrylive.org.
You're listening to Chris Fabry Live. I'm Colin Lambert, sitting in for Chris today. You ever found yourself at a fork in the road? A listener to Chris Fabry recently wrote this: I'm at a fork in the road regarding staying in my current job or turning in my notice. What was your fork in the road? Was there a decision that might not look as big now, but at the time seemed overwhelming? Then you made the decision and now you have a story to tell? That's the topic tomorrow on Chris Fabry Live. I hope you'll join and share your story of getting past that fork in the road. Our guest today, Jordan Rayner. He is the author of The Sacredness of Secular Work, 4 Ways Your Job Matters for Eternity. Phone lines open, 877-548-3675. Right back to your calls. Roger, you're in West Palm Beach listening on WRMB. Thanks for your call today, your question or comment.
Yes, good afternoon. Praise God for your program. Well, my comment is, I believe one of the question that you all had was, how does your job matter for the purpose of God? And of late, I'll comment that, you know, God has really been working with me and working on me to give the gospel away. I'm a dump truck driver. I move aggregates, sand, rocks, and gravel. And throughout my day, I get to meet and encounter a lot of people. And of late, what I've been saying to people as I meet them is that God created you for a purpose. And the only way that we get to know our purpose is by knowing God and knowing His Word. So, you know, just those little things, I believe, can lift a person up as they're going through the day. And I'm happy for my job that I'm able to do things like that, you know, especially like sometimes I'm at a fuel station and I meet someone and I would just tell them something as simple as that. So definitely I believe that we're all, our jobs is a place for us to give the gospel out. We don't have to be aggressive at it to the point of where it affects, you know, our work environment or anything like that. You know, some places all I do is put down little invite tracts and, you know, don't make no comments, but you could take one person to walk by and see that track and pick it up and read it, and, you know, there's the Word of God coming to them, you know. So
yeah,
I definitely,
Roger, love,
praise God for my workplace.
Amen. Love hearing your story. Jordan, any thoughts for Roger today?
Roger's such an encouragement. Roger, just encourage you. Oh, man, good for you for sharing the gospel and being bold about your faith. But, man, your work of driving those trucks has intrinsic value to God, too, because God is using your work as a vehicle, literally in your case, for delivering His extraordinary blessings to the world. James 1:17 says that every good and perfect gift is from God, including those rocks and pavers or whatever it is that you're delivering to your customers. But all throughout Scripture, we see that while God is certainly capable of delivering His good gifts through extraordinary miracles, more often than not, He delivers them through seemingly ordinary work, right? Mm. And so, man, I'm just grateful for how God is using you to deliver His good and perfect gifts to your customers, Roger.
Amen. Amen. Darla in Indiana, listening on WGNR. We're down to just a short amount of time. If you can give me your question or comment quickly, we'll get Jordan's response. Thanks for calling today, Darla.
Some years ago, I was working as a weekend manager, 12-hour days on Sunday. And I asked them if I could combine my lunch hour and my breaks and have church because a lot of the residents couldn't drive, and I felt guilty that I couldn't be at church. And I got a man to preach and lead the music, and so we had church there for a number of years, and that solved my problem.
I love it, Colin. I mean, Jordan, Darla's talking about exactly what we were talking about with, I think it was Scott a few minutes ago, of the church scattering out in the world, and taking the church with us to whatever our job is for God's glory and the good of others.
I love also, Darla, the creativity of taking these two segments of time, asking if she could combine them so that they could use them to share the good news. Jordan, it's been such an encouragement to have you with us today. I want to encourage people to visit chrisfabrylive.org or Chris Fabry Live Radio on Facebook. We'll have links to you and all your information. Maybe a quick 20 seconds to somebody who has yet to connect their faith with their work. Maybe a quick word of encouragement.
Psalm 37:23 says, "The Lord directs the steps of the godly and delights in every detail of their lives." Not just when you're sharing the gospel. Everything you do at work today in a godly way is an ingredient to the eternal pleasure of God.
Amen. Jordan Rayner, the book, The Sacredness of Secular Work, Four Ways Your Job Matters for Eternity. And friend, it really, really does. Jordan, thanks for your time today. Again, thanks to the team here at Chris Fabry Live. And my thanks to you for tuning in today. A reminder that tomorrow, Chris is going to be talking about that fork in the road. Have you ever gotten to that point where you had to make a major decision? And how did the Lord work through that? And what might you share that might help somebody standing at the fork in the road themselves today? That's tomorrow here on Chris Fabry Live. Hope you have a great rest of your day. And thank you so much for being a part of Chris Fabry Live. I'm Colin Lambert, sitting in today for Chris. Chris Fabry Live is a production of Moody Radio, a ministry of Moody Bible Institute. We'll see you next time.